As we go through this this sermon series, as we talk about it, and if you saw the graphic that was up earlier, you know, what is your next step? And it goes along with, you know, with taking the next step. And, you know, what we are trying to do is to get closer to God. And last week we kicked all this off. You see the kick off? You like that? Yeah, I'm not that smart either, Roy. Last week we kicked this thing off about getting closer to God and figuring out where we are. And we read in Psalms 37, 23 through 24, the Lord makes firm the steps of those who delight in Him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So as we go on this journey, as we take the one step and the next step, there are going to be difficult times. As Jimmy said, you know, referencing the building, there are times when we're going to fail. But when we are walking in a Godward direction, trying to get closer to God, He's going to be there. He's going to take care of us. It's all going to work itself out. We're going to have questions. He's going to make our paths straight. And then we looked at the map of the mall. Remember that? And the you are here. And I hope that this week you've taken some inventory. I hope this week that you've looked at life in a new and fresh way inside. God, where am I in my relationship with you? What do I need to work on? What am I really good at? Remember we talked about that. You know, you got to know what you're good at so you can be encouraged about that and continue in those things. And Father, where do I need to get better? Where can I become more like you so that I can be closer to you? And so what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks is the first step is study. What I'm going to ask Justin to do is, and I'm not sure if all of my transitions made it in the over. So if it goes to the full screen, is get that off of there as quickly as possible, however you can figure that out, because I don't want people looking ahead. We're going to talk about study. We're going to talk about getting into the Word to know about God. And there's a passage that talks about this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 and 15. It's a one that I memorized as a kid. And it talks about study in as much as the whole context of the passage is about handling God's Word. But that's not all that it talks about. It can be a applied to every aspect of our life, because it really is about doing your best. In 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 14, keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling. Now, what's going on here is Paul is talking to Timothy. You've got a seasoned apostle, an experienced guy who's gone out and really, when it comes to kingdom work, he's been there, done that, seen it, got the t-shirt or the tunic or whatever. I mean, he's experienced almost every possible scenario that you can experience in doing God's work. And so he's instructing Timothy, this younger pastor, this younger minister who's left in a place to take care of the church that God has started, that Paul started and that God is bringing about. And he says, so remind them, warn them before God against quarreling about words. He gives a warning there. So as we go into this study about study, understand that there's a warning to begin it. This isn't so that we can quarrel about the words that we read and what we know in verses. It's not about that at all. We're going to talk about what it is about, but at first, go into this knowing that we have to be on our guard against our own nature, our fallenness. Even when we are approaching God, our fallenness gets in the way. And so he says, beware of that. He said, there's no value. It only ruins those who listen. He says, then do your best to present yourself to God. See, in an argument, we're presenting ourselves to one another. Oh, I like this, and I think this word. Yeah. No, present yourself to God as someone, as one approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed and correctly handles the word of truth. So basically what Paul is telling Timothy is that getting into God's Word, studying God's Word, is significantly important. Because remember what we talked about a few weeks ago in hearing God's voice, and that we'll never hear His voice unless we are reading His Word, unless we're in His book. Oh, there it is. We won't hear Him unless we're reading Him. Now, we can hear Him outside of this, but it's always going to agree with this, and He's never going to tell us something that goes against what He's written. But unless we are into what He has written for us, and we recognize all that, then hearing His voice is virtually out of the question. So study is important. Studying Scripture, being immersed in Scripture is important. So what's the point of all this? Well, in following the greatest teacher I've ever heard or read about, Jesus, it's His teaching would always, well, not always, but a lot of times He would start with what we aren't supposed to do, or what He's observed that this is what you're doing, and that's this, that we need to stop that, before He would tell us what we do need to do. Remember when He was talking to the apostles and on the Sermon on the Mount, and the disciples gathered there, and He said, they said, well, teach us how to pray. What's prayer like? You know, you pray. They had heard Him pray, and man, it was unlike, He talked to God like nobody had ever talked to God before. And they said, we want to do that. And He said, well, okay. Well, you want to know how to pray? Let me tell you what you don't do. Don't just babble on. Don't just ramble on. They're trying to impress God with so many words. And don't be like this person, and don't be like that person, and don't think that you're going to badger God into, you know, because it's all about God's will. And He says, okay, so don't do that, but this is how you pray. And He says, you know, about fasting. He says, when you fast, don't fast like this. And He gives them all these examples of a bad fast. You know, it's all about making sure everyone knows I'm fasting. Oh, look how good I am. I'm on a fast. So don't do that. When you fast, do this. So it's important for us to recognize, warn ourselves against our own fallenness, and understand that when it comes to our approach to God, there might be some obstacles that we need to remove, some things that we do before we can start doing how God wants us to do something. So the point of study is not, if you got your order of worship, you can follow along. The point of study is not to master the Bible. It's not about mastering this right here. The thing that I want us to go into this understanding is that this, the written Word of God, is not God. This isn't. This is not the Lord. It's what God, through His Holy Spirit, inspired to be written on His behalf. But this isn't God. I've seen it over and over again at conferences and places. They call it Bible worship, where just the Bible is to be mastered, and it's, you know, it's to be, what happens is it becomes revered and to such a way, to an unhealthy level, where the Scripture itself is put on the pedestal and worshiped as God when it's not. The Bible's not to be, it's not a subject to be mastered. Because this isn't, our relationship with God isn't about our intellect. So the point of this isn't to master the Bible. The point is also not to prove one doctrinal understanding over another. Here's the reality of us. People understand things differently. Now, I want to go on record as saying is that I believe what I believe about God. I do. And I support that. And I'm not just saying, let's just, oh, it's whatever, okay? I'm not saying that. And if you don't understand when I go through this and you've got issues with what I say, please let's get together and talk about it. It's not going to do anybody any good. Well, did you hear what Shane said? Well, I think he was just throwing this out. No, that's not what I'm saying. I don't have time to go into all this. We only got a few minutes left. But what I'm saying is that studying Scripture is not about proving this doctrinal understanding over another. People believe different doctrine. You know, doctrine, what it is, it's the words that we use to wrap our finite minds around an infinite God. That's what doctrine is. It's the words that we choose to wrap the finite, that that has a beginning and an end, doesn't understand all of the cosmos. We wrap words around an infinite God, and that's called doctrine. It's what we believe about Him, and it's very important. So important that in 1 Timothy 4 and 16, Paul tells Timothy, guard your doctrine. Persevere in that. Guard your life first. He says, guard your life and your doctrine, because it's the words that you use to wrap around God so that you can understand and kind of get a bit. But here's the thing. None of us come at God from the same direction. That we don't. And so it's what he says, don't quarrel over words. If we're approaching God, we're all, people are going to have different beliefs or different ways to believe the same thing. Now, that's controversial. And I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm not trying to stir up anything. I'm just saying, guys, let's just call it what it is. Lily and I were in Gatlinburg because she had a gymnastics thing this weekend. You know what's going on in Gatlinburg this weekend? Christian youth conferences. You know what was all over the place? Church of Christ buses and vans. And they're there for a conference. So I was talking to some people. I said, there was a big conference going on last weekend too. There's a bunch of Church of Christ up here. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different one. That's the liberal one, and this is the conservative one. That was how they explained it to me. And so I thought, our doctrinal understanding is more important than our unity in the Spirit. And I'm sick of it. My meager understanding of an infinite God is enough to separate me from my brothers and sisters to where we can't worship and praise Him together? You're kidding me. But we do it. Now, I'll just tell you this. We're brothers and sisters in this room. There's people that are angry at me right now, and there's people that are excited I'm saying this. If you're excited, that's great. If you're angry, let's talk. Let's just talk, man. Unity is what's going on in the Holy Spirit right now. We can either join it or not. We don't create it, we just join it. President of Lipscomb University told me that, and I believe him. He preached the very first time David Lowry spoke at Summer Celebration, and I believe every word he said. He said, look, that's what's going on in the Holy Spirit. We can join it or not. It's not about a doctrinal understanding. This elevates doctrine to an unhealthy level because it's what I think, what I believe about God. Titus 2 and 1 says, live your life according to sound doctrine. It's important, but it isn't God. It's not all, the point of study is also not about being right. All of these things, all three of these, are about my intellect. That's not what God is all after. He's not all after about, my mind and ability to understand Him. That elevates me to an unhealthy level. Matthew 22 and 37. The Pharisees come to him. What's the most important law? What's the most important thing I can do? Love the Lord. Love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your mind. He didn't say no about him. He said love him. I know a lot about certain people. People know a lot about a certain subject. But they don't necessarily love. God wants us to love Him. Study is not to elevate our brains. It's to broaden our hearts. To make our hearts bigger, to accept more of God. So what is the point of study? The point of study is to recognize... It's to recognize God. The point of study is to recognize God because He's going to show up. You see, what this book tells me is what God looks like. It's like I love the confidence of little kids. There was a story of a your little girl, little preschooler, drawing a picture, and the teacher asked her, "What are you drawing?" She said, "Drawing a picture of God." I said, "Well, sweetheart, nobody knows what God looks like." She said, "Well, they're about to." We got to be able to recognize God when He shows up. Remember Elijah sitting in the mountains in 1 Kings 19? He said, "I'm going to pass by. And I want you to be looking for me." Big wind, whirlwind comes. Oh, he wasn't in the world. Big fire comes. Oh, he wasn't in the fire. Big earthquake. Oh, he wasn't in the earthquake. And there was a still, small whisper. God was all over that. See, what we need to be reading, what we need to be studying is so that we can recognize God when he shows up. When he appears before us. When God arrives in our life. In the person that needs help, in the child that needs love, the older person in our life that needs caring for. I mean, God's going to show up, and we need to know what He looks like so that we'll recognize Him. So that when He's there, we'll know this is God. This isn't just some vagrant. This isn't just some little snot-nosed brat. This isn't just some older person. This is Jesus, and I know that because I've read what He looks like, and when He shows up in my life, when He's standing before me, I recognize Him. We need to read this because we can recognize God when He shows up and when He doesn't. So when we say, "Oh, this is from God," and it's not, because it's in here it says that's going to happen. There's going to be people, and sometimes in your own life you're going to think, "Hey, God told me to do this, or God wants me to do this, or this is God's will." But Jesus says, "No, not my will," because He knew there's our will and there's God's will. And sometimes we want our will to happen so bad that we'll mistake the two. And He says, "Not my will, but yours be done." We got to recognize what God's will is, so when it conflicts with ours, we move out of the way. Point of study is to recognize God, and it's also not only to recognize Him, but to know what He is like, to know what God is like. Not to know what He likes, but to know what He is like. Because if we approach this as, "I got to know what God likes so that I can do all those things," then we don't know God. Because what God likes, we can't do. And if we spend our entire lives trying to do those things, then we'll fail miserably. But if we understand what God is like, He is compassionate and merciful, and he's shown up here, and He's taken all of our sins, and He's put them on the cross, and He's satisfied everything for a relationship with Him. That's what He's like. Then we can rest, and we can actually be likable ourselves. I'm not saying I'm just endorsing whatever we want to do. I'm saying when we come to know God, it has this miraculous way of changing us into the likable people that He created us to be. And it's a transformation process. It isn't a willpower thing. And you know why we study to know what God is like? So we will come near Him. You know, there's this weird phenomenon that happens. It's the first of the year, or first of the school year at the preschool, and we have new preschoolers. And they've never met Mr. Shane. I don't know what it is about me. Maybe I'm really scary looking, I don't know. But there's a couple of them that when they see me, they're running or they're crying. Maybe both. But then over a couple of weeks, a couple of months, maybe a few years on some of their cases, they get to know me. "Oh, he's just joking when he says he's going to eat your lunch. He's just kidding." I'm like, "Ooh, what do you have? Grilled cheese? I like grilled cheese." "Oh, he's just kidding. He's funny. He's a nice guy." Once they get to know me, they know what I'm like. Then they'll actually come near. Now, I'm not saying I love Mr. Shane. They'll come near me, or they'll at least not run the other way. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to quit running the other way when He comes around, when we recognize Him. He wants us to come near to Him. So we study. We read about him so that we'll know what he's like, so that we're not afraid. The most commanded thing in Scripture, do not be afraid. Know what I'm like. I'm not mean. I'm not vicious. I'm not out to get you. I am on your side, God says over and over and over again. But it's also about understanding the complexities of a relationship with God. I love our Wednesday night studies in the story, just because of the way it starts. This is the greatest story ever told. It's your story, it's my story, but it's God's story. This is the story of God. And what this is, it's a compilation of all of these people that interacted with God. And God interacting with all of these people. So we see what it looks like when somebody is near God and is pursuing God, is in a relationship with God. Because God is infinite. We are finite. And that's a complex relationship to have. So we have multiple pictures of what it looks like. We have a lot of people that went through a lot of different things in a lot of different time zones. And they're, you know, and some of them are similar, some of them are different. And so what we do is we have all of these examples of what it looks like to be in a relationship with God and what it looks like to not be in a relationship with God. And God says, there you have it. Choose accordingly. And so it's a complex relationship, the infinite with the finite. And so he gives us all of these examples. He says, so when you run into obstacles and you don't understand, here's what this person did. Here's how it worked out for them. Here's what they didn't do. Here's how this worked out. You will find every episode of your life in these pages. And how God responds and what his intentions are. So there's some benefits to this. There's benefits of Bible study. We know what the point is. And see, why I wanted to start with what's the point of this is because it's all about motives. What's your motive? And for some of us, our personalities are very cut and dried, winners and losers. And so our motives are going to lean more towards being right and correct. You need be warned on that. Some of us are more, as Jamie puts it, more, woo, you know, hey. Okay, that's also a personality to be warned against because God is a God of order, not of disorder. So, you know, I have that kind of jellyfish sort of personality. It's like, oh, let's just go this. I have to be warned about that because God is a God of order, not disorder. So I have to get outside of my will and go towards God. And those that are so strict, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's and all of that, that's not how God works either. So we have to be warned. So the point is all about motives. The point of study is to understand what's my motive for coming here. So now let's talk about the benefits briefly. And I think you'll agree, the benefits of Bible study, for one, it gives us something to do. Just think about that this week. You ever at a loss for something to do? For some of you, like, no. Free time, what is that? Okay, shame on you. Clear your schedule. Not everything that you plan this week is important enough to follow through with it. Prioritize your list of things that soak up your whole day, and then take the top three, get those done, the rest of it, throw it away. I find that a lot of those tasks, they'll either, you know, the squeaky wheel that needs the grease, that squeaky wheel sometimes just seize up and just shear right off, and then, you know, it's gone. Hey, look at that. Took care of itself. If we're too busy for a relationship with God, something's got to give, and it's probably our schedule. But see, our minds, they need to be occupied. We have these active minds that will, our minds, you ever notice this? They'll think about something. Our minds are going to think about something. God's given us this to read and to study and to understand, so we'll have something to think about. He's given us these hearts. We're going to love something. So what he wants us to do is read about him, come to know him, so that we'll love him and not something else that we pick out of the world. So it gives us something to do, and we're going to do something, and it might as well be this, because there's nothing better to do with any of our time than to be with God in one form or another. Maybe you didn't hear me. We're going to do something with our time, so there's nothing more important that we can be doing than spending time with God in one form or another. Thank you. I felt that would be an agreeable sentence. And that's so it gives us something to do. It also galvanizes our faith. When we read these stories, we read about people in some pretty significant predicaments. And God always brings them through. In Romans, Paul tells us that God works, Romans chapter 8 says, God works together for their good, for those that love him. God works all things together for good for those that love him. That means it's all going to be okay in the end. And you know what? Every one of those stories for people that love God, every one of them works out. Oh, they go through some difficulty along the way, but if we have faith, if we trust in him, if we depend on him, he's going to be there. He's going to take care of us. And so when we read this and we know that these things took place and then we see it happening in our lives, it brings our faith together. And the last thing that it does, not only does it give us something to do and galvanizes our faith, but it generates hope. It generates hope within us. We know that we're not alone. We know that our lives aren't pointless. God's story, it reminds us of what the world desperately wants us to forget. And that's that God loves us. He really does. He's got our best interest at heart. He's trying to help us and to prosper us and to give us a hope and a future, not to destroy us. He wants to take our lives and make them something incredibly significant. And so when we study his word and when we learn about him and we realize that, it draws us closer to him, because the one thing that we all want is hope. We want our lives to mean something, to have a point. God's story reminds us of that. This morning we've covered a lot of ground, and I hope that it's encouraged thought. I hope that it's encouraged the things that have been said this morning have encouraged us to wrestle with God, just like Jacob did on the banks of the river, to wrestle with him, and to not let go until we receive a blessing. But hopefully, and this is what Paul says to Timothy, it's what he says to Titus, it's what he says to all those that he encouraged. It's what we read in the story. Remember when Jacob was wrestling with God, and at the end he says, "I won't let go until you bless me," and God says, "Okay," and he touched him in the socket of his hip, and he limped the rest of his life. What Paul tells all of us, what Jacob lived through, what I'm reminding us of this morning, is that when we encounter God, when we read his story, when we immerse ourselves in this relationship, it will forever change the way we walk. That's the point. That's the reason that we get into this, to forever change our walk. This morning, Hayden's going to lead us in another song. And if you have anything on your heart, if you have any desires that you want to place before God, if you have any changes that you want to make, if you have any questions, anything whatsoever, if you need to confess Christ and begin this walk and be baptized for your sins to be forgiven, to recognize the forgiveness that Christ offered on the cross, whatever your need is this morning, if you need to be prayed with or prayed for, let us know. Just come forward. Meet me up front as together we stand and as we sing.